The title of our presentation is Postpartum Depression Among New Mothers of Color, Recommendations for Public Health Social Workers. I'm Robert Keefe. I have nothing to disclose, neither do my co-presenters Carol Brownstein Evans or Rebecca Pullmantier. We began this study in large part due to the increasing numbers of mothers diagnosed with postpartum depression. The prevalence data tell us that between 13 to 19% of the general population of new mothers has postpartum depression. However, when we look at mothers of color, that prevalence data skyrockets to 38%. Looking specifically at mothers of color, we know that African American and Hispanic mothers have the highest rates among all racial and ethnic groups. These facts have been highlighted by the federal government as a problem needing to be addressed by health and mental health professionals. When Carol and I began the study, one of the things that was problematic for us is that the research was focused almost exclusively on white women who largely have access to care, are well insured, have ongoing relationships with their service providers, and have intact families. Very little of the research has focused on women of color, despite the National Institute of Health's mandates that research in maternal and child health care bring in mothers from other racial and ethnic groups. Likewise, we found, Carol and I, that virtually none of the research had been published in social work journals. The Affordable Care Act, which we all know is in its fifth year, specifies postpartum depression as an area needing to be addressed. Section 2952 of the Act, Support, Education, and Research for Postpartum Depression, mandates ongoing research to better understand the frequency and course of postpartum depression, the differences in treatment needs among racial and ethnic groups, and to develop culturally competent evidence-based treatment approaches. To do this study, we undertook a study using a qualitative method, which we believed was the most appropriate given there were very few studies focusing on mothers of color. So, and likewise, by the way, most of those studies focused on individual level characteristics. Very few focused on macro or socio-ecological and epidemiological data. So we interviewed 13 mothers of color, 19 of whom were African American and 11 Latina. All were over the age of 18 and had at least one child living with them. We recruited mothers from a large urban healthcare agency by posting flyers in the waiting rooms, recruiting mothers who experienced sadness, fatigue, worry, or stress during the perinatal period. Now, we do appreciate the fact that any and all mothers probably experience all these things, so we use the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale as a way to help us understand which mothers really did meet the criteria for postpartum depression. We use the cutoff scale of 12 or higher, indicating depression. The scale, the scores range from 0 to 30. 12 or higher is indicative of depression. Some research studies have used 13. We believed using 12 would help us be sure that we were including all the mothers who were indeed depressed, and conducted qualitative interviews that lasted roughly 60 to 75 minutes. At the conclusion, we provided the mothers with a gift certificate at the end of the interview to an area-wide supermarket chain.
Is this still me?
The research on current best practices calls for screening, diagnosing, and treatment. Again, most of the treatment, the screening measures focus on largely individual level characteristics. Likewise, the treatment is almost exclusively on individual level. There's some looking at family and group work, mostly it's individual, and none of the treatment addresses looking at community or neighborhood level factors. As a result, treatment tends to focus on cognitive behavioral therapy, family psychoeducation, and the use of antidepressant medication. And by the way, most of the research on the antidepressant medication has been published prior to much of the research now that's focusing on the issues of concern with regard to SSRIs.
Okay, so we had several questions, and this presentation focuses on the last question of the research, was to ask the mothers what recommendations they had for service providers, particularly public health social workers. But our other questions had to do with asking the mothers what it was like for them to experience postpartum depression as they experienced stress, anxiety, worry, feeling overwhelmed, and then how they coped. And so this presentation focuses on this last part. The mothers talked about formal services, and the formal services that they most needed often were not related to mental health services or counseling, but related to concrete needs, as we would anticipate. So not just diapers and toys, clothing for children, but housing, moving to a safer neighborhood, transportation, prescriptions for themselves and for their children, how they would access healthcare, and then, of course, eventually their need for jobs and childcare and daycare. They did also talk about the positive relationships that were important for them with their service providers, whether it was physicians, nurses, or social workers, that they most appreciated being listened to, being validated for their experiences, that what mother wouldn't feel distressed, worried, anxious, or depressed, given some of the challenges that these mothers were facing. Our research was all in an urban health center with mothers who were low income, who at times in their life course of being mothers were single mothers. Some of them had partners that were more supportive than others. They had family issues with their own families of origin. They had children who had health issues. They had their own health issues, transportation, housing, all the things that I've mentioned. And so being validated for the fact that their experiences were very challenging and very demanding, that they were pushing through, and that they felt cared for by their providers as well. So some of the things that mothers talked about, their own ingenuity, their own initiative. If I see something going on in the community and it's free, I'm in. You know, you have to look around for yourself and you have to call around. So this was a mother who was very used to seeking services and keeping her eye out for what was available. They did talk about the roles of individuals such as social workers and case managers who would come and help them with diapers and toys for their children, but also with transportation, clothing, housing options, and other kinds of services. And then they talked about, this one mother in particular talks about the relationship to the urban health center, and that she and her siblings and her mother all had the same doctor, and then all of their children, so her mother's grandchildren, all had the same doctor. They'd been in this health center receiving care since 1995, and the health center would call her mother if anybody was missing from their health care. So they felt very cared for and very connected to the health care center. Talking about social work and counselors, talking about my social worker was a good counselor, and social workers and counselors have to feel your pain. They have to be able to empathize with you and with what you're going through. This mother talked about, if I see you the first time or the second time, I may not feel comfortable, but seeing you, growing a connection, a relationship with you, I can answer the questions that you ask me. My doctor, he takes his time, he listens. So the mothers wanted their providers to say, how are you doing today? And if they said okay, but they didn't look great, ask them again. Ask me a second time, and then maybe I'll tell you how I'm really doing today. But they needed the trust and the relationship to be able to do that. When they talked about formal care and formal services, actually mental health services were the things that the mothers found least helpful. They said that mental health care, they found themselves with other service recipients who they felt had more severe psychiatric problems than they had. So if they were put in a group with other individuals who had depression, but not mothers with postpartum depression, they felt that they were with people with more serious problems. They found that antidepressant medications would leave them feeling drugged, non-responsive to their infants, too tired. They didn't feel like themselves. And those medications did nothing to eliminate the problems that they were facing that were many times the sources of their stressors. So one mother said she did go to an outpatient program. There were about 15 other strangers there. They had more problems than I did. I didn't feel comfortable, even though she had the support of the father of her children. Another woman indicated that she was feeling so depressed that she admitted herself for a week, but found that there were too many crazy people in the inpatient unit, and she needed something to get away from all of her issues, but being admitted for inpatient treatment didn't make anything any better for her. Talking about the medications, talking about feeling moody, indifferent, I didn't care, it wasn't me, so I stopped taking the medications. They didn't really help me, they made me feel crazier. I didn't feel good at all, and so many times the mothers that we talked about stopping the medications. And then one more quote. They have a whole lot of medication. They either make me drowsy, like I even felt worse, and at the end of the day, your problems are still there. So their wish list, when they gave us recommendations for service providers, they wanted providers who were knowledgeable and had an understanding of postpartum depression, perinatal depression, and what they were going through as mothers. They wanted people who would listen carefully to them, to their concerns, and be able to empathize with them about the depth of their feelings. They wanted validation and reassurance that they were, that their symptoms would improve, but also that they were doing a good job as mothers, that they were working very hard to be the best mothers they could be. They wanted emotional support from their providers. They wanted trusting relationships so that they could confide in us about what was happening and how hard it was for them. And they wanted services that were accessible. They wanted flexible appointment times. They didn't want rigid treatment plans that said if you've missed once or twice or three times, now we drop you from care or we drop you from mental health services. They wanted to know that they could come back when it fit their schedule. The very things that they were struggling with in their lives were the very things they needed to talk to someone about, but they were the very things that kept them from being able to keep appointments. They had children they had to get to the doctor, they had issues at school, they had to deal with their job, they had transportation issues, they had other family issues, they couldn't get to all of their appointments. So when we think about the role of public health social work and how to work with mothers with postpartum depression, not only does it include screening and assessment, planning, advocacy for them, referral to a wide range of services, and helping them to obtain tangible supports, but it's also those relationship issues of listening, supporting, validating, reassuring, helping them with problem solving, supporting them in that process, and then treatment or intervention when they're ready and able to go to mental health treatment.